217.
With only minutes to spare before Max Sanders went on trial for his liberty, Gerald Proust came through with a tempting offer. Surrender your control and the Sanders interests to me and leave town forever, said Proust, and I'll see to it that you're acquitted. Max might have accepted, but Mary stepped in with an unanswerable argument. Why, she argued, why should Proust want to make such an offer when it would be better for him if you went to prison? Why, if not that he believed you might not be convicted? Max lost no time in showing the furious Gerald Proust the door, thus resolutely turning their backs on their last hope beside the trial. Mary and Max prepared for the ordeal to come. The courtroom is jammed. Max's friends, Mary, Phyllis, Danny, all that can be present are present. Mary and Dr. John Benson sit together for strength and comfort as District Attorney McGraw makes his opening to the attentive jury.
Shall be dealt with in order as this trial progresses. Gentlemen and ladies of the jury, here then in brief and summary is what this prosecution shall endeavor to prove. We shall demonstrate that the defendant, one Max Sanders, was apprehended in the company of a recognized band of gangsters, gamblers, and gunmen in the very act of conducting an illegal gaming house within the limits of the town of Sanders. Now, whereas many of the others so captured pleaded guilty, mind you, of the charges preferred, this Max Sanders pleads not guilty, and so stands forth for trial in this court of law. Now it shall be my purpose to prove to you that this same Max Sanders did not...
John, it's not fair the things he's saying about me.
You disturb people, don't you?
But John, the wicked things he's saying about me.
He's saying what he believes and what he feels he must make the jury believe.
Well, he doesn't have to be so venomous, so deadly.
It's his job, Mary. I'm afraid you haven't seen anything yet. He's out to get an enemy of the people.
He's not. I mean, Max isn't. He's innocent.
Evidence based on testimony proves innocent or guilt, Mary. It seems cruel, but it's the only civilized way so far.
Civilized? You mean to torture him? Poor man. How can he say those things before he's proved them? It's slander. It's wrong.
Mary, he's within the law. It's his duty to tell the jury what he hopes to prove. Now, please, be calm. People are staring.
Yes, I'll be quiet. But John, it's all lies. Listen to him and the way he flatters the jury.
I know.
Oh,
to do credit to a man of his position and responsibility in the community. Jurors, citizens, men and women sitting in judgment, above all, ladies and gentlemen who have a social conscience and high moral scruples, I invite your attention. And I have no misgivings as to what your decision will be when the time comes for you to render your thoughtful verdict. My case, I know, from this moment forward is in most excellent hands. I thank you.
Won't you come in for a moment, John?
Do you think... should I? I mean, aren't you tired after it all?
Well, a cup of tea will make us both feel better. You'll come in.
Well, yes, thank you. Your coat?
Thank you. Just throw your hat anywhere. I'm used to having men's things scattered about the house. Max is so untidy.
The way he glared and folded his arms in court. The Rock of Gibraltar in person.
He was grand, wasn't he? Without being called upon to say a single word, he was grand.
He was magnificent. I hope he keeps it up. He didn't look like a guilty man. It always helps. Even though the worst crooks sometimes have the most innocent faces. Human nature, human weakness. People are taken in by frauds. Makes them wary.
And then they take it out on innocent people like Max.
Oh, Mary.
I'm sorry. I behaved badly in court, didn't I?
Only during the district attorney's opening.
I know, but I wasn't prepared for the kind of thing he said about me.
You don't understand, Mary. He wasn't saying those things yet. He was telling the jury he was going to try to show them that Max deserved those things. But not yet. It's a fine distinction.
Sorry, but I didn't catch the fine distinction.
Now, Mary, you're letting today's happenings in court make you unhappy, and you shouldn't. It's like listening to any debate. The speaker of the moment seems to be right. And his opponent gets up, and he sounds just as right. Right now, the prosecution has all the say, and I know everything seems black.
Black? There isn't a loophole. Not a ray of light.
Just you wait until the defense gets into action.
Defense? What defense?
Well, neither Max nor his lawyer are telling what they know, of course. They must have a defense of some sort.
Max will tell his story. That's the only defense.
His story? That's utterly fantastic, fabulous.
Unbelievable. Go on.
Mary, on someone else's lips, that story of how Max happened to be caught with those thugs that sound ridiculous, but somehow coming from him, it's not unbelievable.
I know. Max has such a sincere, straightforward manner about him. I'm hoping for that to save the story and him, but you saw how the prosecutor was today. The moment he was crossed, how vicious and deadly and sarcastic he became.
For example, when his own witness changed his testimony and almost gummed things up.
Yes. He thoroughly discredited the man's changed testimony. He made him testify the way he wanted him to testify.
Oh, he's clever. No getting away from it.
He's cruel. Vindictive.
It's part of the district attorney's job, and he does it, that's all. Be fair, Mary.
Yes, you're right, of course, but...
But it's your Max who is the victim. I know.
Yes, my Max. Mine. For how long, I wonder?
For all time, Mary.
Until death do us part?
Mary, I'm a man of science, but I wonder if even death can part you two.
John, Max won't really go to prison, will he? That's the sort of thing that happens to other people. It's something you might read about, but to have it happen to Max, to us, I can't grasp it.
It's like sickness, Mary. Sickness, disease, physical accidents. We think of them as things that only happen to other people until they actually occur. Look at poor Phyllis.
Yes. Poor little Phyllis. So young and so much in love with Dan.
Yes. So you see, Mary, in this life, we must always expect the worst, even though we hope for the best.
I suppose it's only human to forget that when one's happy. I was talking to Phyllis just the other day.
Then I'm sure you cheered her up. You know, you have that effect on people, Mary.
I'm afraid I didn't help her much this time, though.
Well, she mustn't be allowed to brood. We must keep her busy talking, doing little things.
But in between. In between when she can't help thinking that she's an invalid. An invalid chained to a chair. Not the girl that Danny married. Oh, I know Danny's loyal now, but what of the future? He's a man. He's human.
You've thought of that, have you, Mary?
Well, there is that side to Danny and Phyllis' problem, John, and one can't help but foresee that Danny will inevitably drift away, even in spite of himself.
You've stated your own problem, Mary.
John, what do you mean?
You and Max are in pretty much the same situation as Phyllis and Danny. Separated, apart. Danny may drift away from Phyllis, and so may you from Max.
John, that's not true. It's not true. I couldn't.
Maybe you're right, Mary. Maybe you're stronger than anyone I've ever known, including myself. So far, Danny's had no temptation to take him away from Phyllis. But, Mary, here am I, John Benson, the man who loves you, the other man. And the irony of the whole thing is that Max wants to leave you to my protection. I'm still afraid that it's going to be an impossible situation, Mary. It's going to take too much strength.
I'm not afraid, John. Really, I'm not. I know you have that strength. I trust you. And I think I know myself.
One woman to divide her courage between two men. Can you do it, Mary?